Okay, Jam, today we're going to talk about the chemistry of cinnamon. Cinnamon, my favorite.
Nice.
Do you even know what a cinnamon stick is?
Is it bark?
Oh, yes. I thought you might know that. Dang.
I just have like handled them and thought, this seems like a piece of bark.
It does. They're like literally sticks. Yeah. So we're going to talk about what they are, where they come from, why do they remind us of fall, winter times.
Okay.
And also they have something to do with mosquitoes and maybe they're a miracle drug. So
interesting. Okay.
We're going to be all over it.
I'm into it.
All right, let's go.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm Melissa.
I'm Jam.
And I'm a chemist.
And I'm not.
And welcome to Chemistry for Your Life.
The podcast helps you understand the chemistry of your everyday life.
And it's Christmas.
Yay!
I mean, not exactly. I think we're a few days early, but we're ahead. So it's not even Thanksgiving for us yet.
That's right.
So this is exciting.
Yeah. But thankfully, cinnamon's sort of a spice for this whole time, this whole season.
Do you know why?
No.
You don't? You look like you have a guess.
I was thinking, like, technically it's not. Like, I eat things that have cinnamon on them all the time, I guess. So,
well, we're going to talk about it. At least okay. I can get you with that, even though you got me with the cinnamon sticks.
Nice.
Got me. Okay. So,
it was really a guess. I was like, I did not know that for sure. It's like the only thing
I should have held my poker face.
You maybe could have been like, maybe it is.
Maybe, kind of. Okay. So, I love cinnamon candles. They are like, you know, my go-to Christmas scent. Some people, it's pine, but for me, my mom always had a cinnamon candle, so they're like nostalgic.
Yeah.
And also, I just love cinnamon in general. Like the coffee shop that I go to here that you don't really approve of.
You're right.
It always smells like cinnamon. And that's part of, like, when I walk in, I'm like, it's just a good smell.
They do have good cinnamon rolls. It's just that the coffee part of the coffee shop is important, you know?
Yeah.
But the cinnamon rolls,
some of us.
Cinnamon rolls are very good.
They are really good. And you can watch them. They used to have a different shop where they would like make the bagel or the cinnamon rolls right in front of you. You could watch them through this little glass thing and it was great.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you know, I love cinnamon and it's cinnamon Christmas time and I had a cinnamon candle in my room all day. And then I was like, what is that smell? And so the answer is partially exactly what I expected. And then the other part of it is surprising to
me.
So this isn't going to be your traditional chemistry lesson. I mean, there's like obviously chemistry woven throughout, but it's going to be more like the fun fact episode.
Nice.
And I thought that'd be good because it's Christmas, you know, it's holiday season. Mm-hmm. We're all on break from school. Some of us it might be cold outside, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll embrace the cozy vibes and I'm just going to imbue you with fun facts that then you can go take out into your cozy vibes time and you can share with people like maybe over your cup of cinnamon tea or if you have some, we had cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning growing up, you know, you'd be like, did you know? And it'll be fun. So we're continuing the spread of fun science facts at holidays.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, so, fun science fact cheer for all to hear. You know,
that's cute. So, let's go into this. So the part that blew my mind that you already guessed is that it is literally basically a stick, a cinnamon stick.
That's so weird.
It is weird. It's not that simple though. They're part of there's a family of trees, I'm not good at biology words. Cinnamomum is the genus, I believe. And there's a few different varieties. And there you may have heard, like, have you ever heard people say like, oh, this isn't real cinnamon? Well, there's a variety. They all taste slightly different, but the variety from Sri Lanka is supposed to be like the best. So there's that. And then the other cinnamon, that we usually have, that's like less rare, I guess, probably what you get when you just go to your grocery store, like Kroger or whatever, is cassia cinnamon. There's Sri Lankan and cassia cinnamon. So they're different varieties. And my brother said that one time our mom got some of the like true quote unquote cinnamon from Sri Lanka. They all have the same major compound, but it'd just be like the levels of that and other ones that slightly change the flavor. But he said it was so much more powerful and a little bit more oily and really, really good.
Interesting.
So that's cool.
That is cool. I would never have thought that.
Me neither. I hadn't heard about that. Like, I've heard about the vanilla fake versus real,
right?
But I didn't know there's also a cinnamon conversation. But there was. I found some articles that I linked in where people were talking about that, where I linked in our show notes.
Yeah. I've heard the vanilla thing a lot before we talked about that. And of course, I didn't know a lot, but I had heard that so many times. But I don't know if I've ever heard somebody be like, oh, it's not real cinnamon or whatever. I think I'd probably be like, what?
It tastes good to me.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about vanilla too. So it's a tree, but it's kind of like a bushier tree. And so it looks like, you know, those ones that get the little red buds all over them or pink buds all over them that are around here. That they're like, I'm making a little C with my hand for those of you listening. It's like about this big around as like some of the main stalks and branches. That's about the size that the branches need to grow to harvest cinnamon off of them. And what they'll do is, and I linked a video in there in our show notes it's from Science India, and it just shows people harvesting. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
So they'll cut those branches and like any offshoots off of it. And then the outer layer of bark, they actually scrape off. So that just gets scraped off in shavings, and those shavings might be wrapped in the next layer or maybe just discarded. But then what they do is the next layer, they'll get brass rods and sort of massage it to make it loose. And then they cut like a ring around the tree, and you know, then a line connecting it. So basically you can take it off in a sheet.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Visually? I don't know. For people who are listening, maybe that'd be a little confusing, but basically you just like cut a layer, you know, on either side, and then a line connecting the two rings so that you basically you can unsheathe the tree, and you have to be really careful. And it seems like a really skilled trade that you have to develop in. But so it's really the inner layer of bark that makes up the cinnamon that we know, the like sheets that are kind of rolled up.
Interesting.
So the inner layer, not the outer layer of bark, but it is basically bark. It's basically just part of a tree.
Wow.
It just sticks.
Weird.
Isn't that cool?
So it's like, can they keep doing that? Or like, I feel like a lot of trees, if you mess with their bark, it's really pretty bad for it.
I don't know. I couldn't tell if it's like, do you just cut off one branch and then another branch is still growing and then you cut off that?
And maybe they just avoid the trunk in every way, because that's probably the most important.
Yeah.
Long term.
I don't know if that's what it was, or if they say it has to grow for 3 years before you can harvest it. So I'm like, do they just plant new ones and turn them over every 3 years? Yeah. I don't know.
That's how coffee is too. It's like it really can't produce something we can take from it and use for like 3 or 4 years, something like that. So you have to really plan ahead. That's crazy.
Yeah. And Stardew Valley takes a long time to grow coffee too.
Dang.
Not years, I don't think.
At least they were accurate. Yeah, that's cool.
It's longer than the other crops, though.
I also feel like it's surprising that they even included it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a crop that like wouldn't have been thought of.
Well, then you make your little coffee drinks and it's cute, you know? I exclusively play video games that are cute. So otherwise, I don't think it's fun. So, sorry, I'm still got a little bit of a cough left over from when I had a really down bad with a cold in the last 2 weeks, but I'm much better now. But I still have that cough lingering. So that's how we get cinnamon sticks. You know, they roll them up and they let them dry, and then they turn into our little rolled up cinnamon sticks. So the thing that's mostly responsible though for our taste of cinnamon within the sticks is an organic molecule. Shocking.
Mm-hmm.
So organic molecule means that it has a chemistry backbone, a carbon backbone. In chemistry, any carbon-based molecule or carbon-containing molecule is organic chemistry. So it's an organic molecule. And you also may remember that we've talked about aromatic rings. Do you remember those?
I do. I do remember that. It's been a long time, but yes.
We talked about it in our vanilla episode for sure.
Uh-huh.
And the idea is that the aromatic ring is, a lot of times they have really good smells associated with them, good aromas. So early on in, you know, organic chemistry, as they're developing the discipline, they would isolate these compounds with really good aromas. And they noticed a lot of them have this similar ring structure, which is six carbons in a ring and alternating double bonds. Mm-hmm. And that is known as a benzene ring, which we've also talked about that a lot. Mm-hmm. But because the benzene ring was present in a lot of these molecules that had good smells, like vanilla and cinnamon, the name aromatic ring just kind of stuck. Mm. But it does have like a pretty distinct meaning within chemistry of like, these are the features of an aromatic ring. It's not just that one.
Got it.
But the name kind of just stuck together. So now benzene is around in a lot of things and it's called an aromatic ring, but it doesn't always give a good aroma. Sometimes it can give a bad aroma. Mm. And sometimes just a part of something that's not really very aromatic at all. So there's a benzene ring. And there's also another functional group on it called an aldehyde. And we've talked about functional groups a lot too.
Yes.
And they're just a collection of atoms that are arranged in, you know, a specific way that will function in a specific way. Uh-huh. And that one's called an aldehyde. So our cinnamon has an aldehyde. And that is the thing that gives us the good flavor, cinnamaldehyde.
Ah, cinnamaldehyde.
That's the common name of this molecule. The standard name is, you know, there's a whole IUPAC. We've talked about that before. That's the International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry. And they have a whole systematic name, but that wouldn't mean anything to anybody but chemists. So. Mm. But the common name is cinnamaldehyde.
Cinnamaldehyde. It's weird because when you put it like that, because of the aldehyde part, and of course, the aldehyde I think of as formaldehyde. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. Oh, should we be eating this? Like, it just still seems kind of like, I don't know.
I think that just goes to show, like, there's so much fear mongering in chemicals. Like, mm-hmm. it'd be really easy for someone to be like, cinnamon has an aldehyde, which is the same group as there is in formaldehyde. And so it's dangerous to eat, but that's just not true, you know, but people will do that and take things out of context a lot. Yeah. So I'm glad that you pulled that out. You're like, what aldehydes? I thought they were bad, but it's just like, no, that aldehyde is bad.
Right. But I am correct in thinking I should not ingest formaldehyde probably. Right.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Cool.
And I think also, is this right or is this wrong? I think I can't remember off the top of my head when you ingest methanol instead of ethanol. I think it might break down into formaldehyde.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not 100% sure, though.
Huh. And I bet if I knew other aldehydes, it wouldn't seem like this universally bad thing, right? Yeah. Because I only know one. It's like,
It feels bad.
Yeah.
I think, is vanilla an aldehyde? Hang on, let me look up. Vanillin. If you're wondering what we're talking about, go listen to our episode on vanilla. Yeah, it is also an aldehyde. Okay, but we just don't call it vanillaldehyde.
Yeah.
So there's lots of aldehydes around, and they do, a lot of them do have standard smells. So cool. That's it.
Dang.
That's not all your fun facts, though. That's just what gives the characteristic cinnamon smell.
That's crazy.
Okay, so that's your main smell. Hang on, I lost my page here in the notes. We're talking about aromatic rings. That's the main component. Okay, but it's not the only thing that's in cinnamon.
Okay.
And this is my speculation about what makes the Sri Lankan cinnamon better than other cinnamons.
Okay.
Is that the variety and the amount of the different other molecules present would be different, and that would change the flavor experience. Mm. And we talked about that also with vanilla, that pure vanilla, quote unquote, like made from vanilla plant, the extract, is actually not pure. It has a bunch of other stuff in it that can give it a variety of flavors.
Right.
Whereas vanilla, artificial vanilla extract is actually just mostly pure vanillin, just the one main compound that gives you the vanilla flavor, but it kind of can fall flat compared to the multi-complex flavor of vanilla extracted from a plant because there's all this other stuff there.
Right.
So similarly, I'm guessing in these two different cinnamon plants, they're slightly different in flavor, likely because they both have cinnamaldehyde. So they're both real cinnamon, you know, if that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
But they would have different varieties of the other compounds that are present.
Got it.
Or different amounts of them. And so, but some of the names of things that are present, there's something called eugenol, which is in cloves, and carophyllene, these are also common names. It's also present in cloves. And pinene from pine trees, which we had a whole episode about last year around this time. So there's lots of other aromatic compounds and oils that will give it flavors. And then there's a bunch that I didn't mention. So that's what gives it its characteristic smell and flavor. There's the primary profile of the cinnamaldehyde that gives you a characteristic cinnamony flavor, but then that is added complexity with the other plants that or the other compounds present in the plant.
Okay.
And it is likely that this plant produces cinnamaldehyde as part of a way to protect itself.
Ah.
Which means that it and many other spices has some antimicrobial properties. And are you ready for this big reveal?
Yes.
That is why we associate it with wintertime, because when meat needed to be preserved before there was refrigerators, a lot of different spices like ginger, clove, nutmeg, and cinnamon would be used to preserve meat because they had these antimicrobial properties and that would protect it from bacteria. And so meat consumed in the wintertime often had those spices on it.
Interesting.
And that's why we think of them as seasonal flavors.
Wow. So it was like those spices were available in the winter more?
I think they used them before the winter to preserve the meat. And then during the winter, you ate the meat that was preserved with those spices on it.
Like, so you would just hunt less or something?
I think so, because animals aren't as around in winter.
Right.
Right?
Interesting.
So that's why.
Yeah. And maybe, yeah, maybe there are some, but you're like, okay, I want to have some meat saved because it's going to be, it could be rough.
Yeah.
You know, or it could be snowed in or something like that. It's like, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
But now we don't have to preserve meat like that.
Right.
But we still associate those flavors with the fall and winter seasons.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's interesting too, because it's like, it really makes you wonder, like, why do we associate any flavors with any time at all, period, you know? And it probably is all stuff like that.
Yeah. Or seasonally, like I think lemons grow in the summer.
Right, right. When are they available? Exactly. Yeah. Stuff like that. But it is weird because there's nothing inherently wintry about cinnamon or nutmeg or whatever. But it's like...
But there is now.
But
we've decided.
Yeah. We have made it so, and we keep handing down that association to each new generation.
Like my mom's candle.
Right. Even though none of us have... actually that tied to the real reason anymore. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And like for me, you know, I go to that coffee shop year round. It smells like cinnamon and I love it year round, but I don't ever light a cinnamon candle unless it's, unless it's Christmas time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I thought that was a fun little tidbit.
That's really cool.
Isn't it?
I wonder what that meat tasted like. I wonder if it was like weird.
Well, I also wondered about like, okay, so that's like our history of it in our Western culture, but were native populations using it in these certain ways too? I mean, that I'd be really curious about that. I mean, it's native to Sri Lanka, so, you know, I think it's a tradition there. So how did they also preserve meat?
With right.
Before it got moved over into the Western countries?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I couldn't find a lot of information about that from sources that I'd be like, yeah, definitely I'm going to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that I didn't really have as much information about that. But maybe if we have, I know we have listeners in India and Sri Lanka. So if you have any insight, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. So this is, now that we're talking about westernizing things, this preserving it and it being antimicrobial is now being incorporated into Western medicine. I think we talked about this when we did the peppermint episode.
Yeah.
But peppermint and cinnamon both have been used in treating bacterial plaques. So I'm just going to read this quote from a press release from the American Chemical Society. Many bacteria clump together in sticky plaques in a way that make them difficult to eliminate with traditional antibiotics. Doctors sometimes recommend cutting out infected tissue, but that can be costly and it's invasive. So essential oils and other natural compounds have recently emerged as alternative substances that fight pathogenic bacteria. Researchers have had a hard time translating that into treatments, but recently some researchers, their names are Rotello. It says Rotello and colleagues. So they tried to package peppermint oil and cinnamaldehyde in silicon nanoparticles. So just kind of a different delivery method. Mm-hmm. And it worked. It killed four different types of bacteria, including one antibiotic resistant strain.
Wow.
And it seems to also promote the growth of cells that are important in wound healing, fibroblasts. Mm-hmm. And there was a study that came out in 2020 that indicated that cinnamon and other plants might be used to fight COVID-19 because, you know, it has that spike. Uh-huh. And it can inhibit the spike.
Interesting.
Which is, I don't understand how, because that's beyond my pay grade, but super interesting.
Weird.
And last but not least, cinnamon has been used as a mosquito repellent. It repels adult mosquitoes and mosquito larvae.
Ah, nice.
Which ties back into our mosquito saga.
Yes, that's very surprising.
I know.
I would not have expected that about any of it, honestly.
No.
So it's like, okay, so in order to try to find some positive results of note, they had to come up with a new delivery system for it.
Yes.
So it seems like they knew this was possible and it has an antimicrobial kind of quality to it, but that didn't seem sort of dependable just in like a, here, put some on your hand or something like that.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe it was hard to concentrate it down enough, but then it'd be, because, I mean, you don't want to put straight 100% pure of something that could be a skin irritant on a wound.
Right.
So I wondered if like, oh, we tried to do it in a pure oil of cinnamaldehyde and that would like cause skin irritation or burns.
Yeah.
Or like we can't put cinnamon powder on. That's like not going to be hygienic. Or, you know, I wonder if they went through some processes until they identify like, oh, this is a consistent way we can apply that won't cause like necrosis or anything bad to the tissue. That was my guess.
Yeah.
That was a chemistry off the cuff.
Off the cuff. Interesting. Very interesting.
And I think it goes back to a lot of the stuff we've talked about before, like when we learned about rubber and when we learned about lavender and when we learned about natural mosquito repellents. It's like indigenous cultures have known things, you know, that we didn't know.
Yeah.
And the science is just catching up.
Yeah. They had a suspicion that, hey, this seems like it works in these scenarios or whatever. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, obviously who knows how many things of those have turned out to be true and not true, but it's cool when it does.
Yeah. And I think it happens a lot that it turns out to be true. And then we also talked about that episode of Radiolab where they took a really old, I don't know if you remember this, but they took it was two history nerds and also microbiologists. And they took a really old, like, medicine man's book or something.
Uh-huh.
And they concocted the thing that it said and it did kill bacteria.
That's crazy.
I know. So I think they just were science. It was a different scientific process of finding what worked in nature and using that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And also like tons of experimenting with what they had.
Yeah,
right.
They exactly.
probably tried a bunch of things. It was like, oh, it didn't seem to work. Yeah. Let's try this.
So we'll try something different. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Wow. That's crazy.
Western science is just try and catch up.
Yeah. And, you know, purify and make consistent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it could be like, yeah, this leaf looks like this. And if you do it like this, then it works sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's like, how much water did you put in there? Or like, how much of the leaf? It's like, well, we didn't have measurements. So it was like three leaves.
Yeah. But we just consistently did this. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like somebody was baking. So we recently went to a wedding, our friend's wedding, and the chocolate chip cookies they had at the dessert table were amazing.
Yep.
And I was like, I got to get this recipe. And I went over and asked. And she's like, oh, it's just Nestle's recipe. And I was like, I got to watch you make those cookies because I know you think it's just Nestle's recipe. Mm-hmm. But you do things that you probably don't realize that you do. Like the temperature of the butter, you probably have it the same every time. And that will affect the final cookie. Or like the order in which you add the ingredients might be different.
Yeah.
Or like,
especially like the baking soda or baking powder, like that. what stage that's put in there, obviously. Yeah. It's gonna make
and
a difference.
The eggs, like if you overbeat eggs, it can change the proteins in that too. And like, is your oven actually at what you think it's at? Because our last oven was 50 degrees hot and our new oven is 50 degrees cold, you know? So I'm like, I gotta know. I wanna watch you and capture it so that I can reproduce it, which you're like similarly with like native cultures, it's like, oh, native medicines. Let's watch what they did and try to capture it and reproduce it.
Yeah. And like having the tools now to be able to measure things in a way that's consistent and like replicate things, that is a huge advantage.
Yeah. It's like take the good, use your powers together for
yes,
good.
Yes. Yes.
What is that? It's a synergistic.
Mm.
It's like, oh, Western medicine is really good at standardizing and mass producing and like, you know, that kind
and,
of stuff.
And investigating like, why.
And investigating
is.
Why and the optimizing it.
Yeah.
And then indigenous cultures have all this like traditional knowledge and let's let them work together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a really cool book about that called Braiding Sweet Grass, if anyone wants to check it out.
Oh, yeah. You talked
she's
about
She's a
that.
PhD biologist and also she's native and she talks about like, she sees the science and the
yeah.
indigenous knowledge working together all the time. It's really cool.
That's cool.
So that was my, that's a fun little foray into cinnamon. So when you're cozy up on the couch with your cinnamon tea, or I like to add a little cinnamon actually into my hot chocolate.
Hmm.
And there is also, there is a lot of stuff I didn't talk about, but one thing that I learned is also it could work in the fight against Alzheimer's. There's some things about that.
Nice.
Like it inhibits the growth of some certain type of cell. So, you know, put a little in your smoothie, put a little in your hot chocolate, just mm-hmm. put a little dash wherever, and then think about all of the amazing properties of cinnamon.
That's crazy. And think about how it's like bark.
That's crazy. The fact that it's like bark.
Yeah. Think about how like, I'm like, I'm putting a stick in my hot chocolate.
And then drinking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of
ground up stick.
Yeah.
It's like sticks. Everything that we kind of ingest is basically just, I used to make fun of tea because I'm like, oh, it's just dirty water.
Yeah,
it's like
leaves.
Everything we eat is just like dirties.
It's like, stuff. Leaves, sticks.
Sticks.
I like when I cinnamon tea. It's like, I like how I don't have sticks with my leaves and my water.
Yeah. So, and what is it? Isn't chocolate's fermented beans, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, so I think it's a seed, isn't it?
I can't remember. That was so long ago that we did
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So, seeds fermented with sticks ground yeah. up in my hot water.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a lot less appetizing.
Yeah, seeds and leaves and sticks and hot water.
Yeah. Well, definitely I have in nuts because I use almond milk too. So, ground up and soaked yeah. nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
This has taken a weird turn.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it. That's your fun cinnamon facts.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Me neither.
I mean, like, other than just the visually, it looks like a stick. It was like, I had no idea where it came from.
Yeah, or what made it smell good.
Nope, nothing.
Or that there was fake, quote unquote, and real, quote unquote, cinnamon.
And I would have not guessed that it had any benefit whatsoever.
I think a lot of things, like, a lot of things that are very aromatic are also antioxidants because they have that ability, if you want to go learn about antioxidants, we have an episode about that, but they do have an ability to capture free radicals, which are real. People talk about those a lot and they use it to like kind of be woo woo and
yeah.
do chemical fear mongering, but they're real. And so a lot of different natural things have those aromatic rings, which are really good for you.
Yeah.
As long as it's not just straight benzene, then that's bad.
Right.
It's a lot to think about, but
yeah.
natural products in a lot of ways, like, have really good things. And, you know, they talk about having a lot of different color on your plate and
yeah,
a lot of different aromas. Now add that in.
It's also one of those words people use just like the word chemical, which is like, it's natural. I was like, well.
I know, yeah.
It's all natural, honestly.
Natural products means a specific thing in chemistry.
Right. But it doesn't mean that for consumers.
Yeah.
It's like.
Neither does organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so when like, I say natural products, that's usually what I'm thinking
yeah,
of.
It's like
yeah.
nothing means anything anymore. I've heard people be like, why is something more natural? I'm like, well, like you've said this before. It's like, well, arsenic is
natural.
It's a natural. Yeah. It's an element. It's yeah. about as basic of a building block of chemistry as it gets. And yet it's bad for us.
In like, chemistry, this is a good thing for you to bring up because I didn't really distinguish that. Natural product synthesis is a branch of organic chemistry. And it aims to, I'm reading straight from Nature, a peer-reviewed journal. Mm-hmm. It aims to prepare a complex target molecule such that the product is analytically identical to a naturally occurring compound.
Mm.
So when I think of natural products, I think of that. It's yeah. like, oh, we have an organic molecule of some kind that we're trying to match up.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that I was doing that.
Yeah.
That's why it's good to have a have an expert and a non-expert.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Have a someone who's not a, doesn't know. I'm like, natural. Does that mean the person who sold it to me is wearing sandals? That's kind of like.
But you're right. I would never say like, oh, arsenic is a natural product, because it's like, oh, I have a specific category of natural product in my mind. It's an organic molecule that is like is often very complex that we're trying to mimic.
Yes, right, right.
Wow, good catch. Now we know.
Now we know. I was thinking about, because you talked about the chemical fear-mongering thing, and then you said we're natural. I was like, oh, that's almost exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
In just the other way, you know?
But yeah.
Yeah.
People do that. They'll fear monger. I have seen that. They like use chemicals as fear mongering, but they don't explicitly say like toxic chemicals, or they'll do the thing where it's like formaldehyde and cinnamaldehyde are the same, so you shouldn't eat it. But then they do the other thing, what sometimes I've heard it called greenwashing, where they'll say like, oh, this is natural, so that automatically means it's good. Mm-hmm. And there is not regulation on that, much like there's not regulation on, you know, what a chemical is.
Yeah.
But then within chemistry, you know, like organic has a very specific meaning. It's carbon-based, and natural products mean, oh, where I, and within chemistry, we're trying to find, you know, we have a natural product and oftentimes we're trying to synthesize to match up to that. It's like a whole branch.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. But it is hard. Like when you're on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and people are sharing just all kinds of like, this is natural, so it's automatically good. And that really is not true. And even like I was talking about with cinnamaldehyde, in its pure form, if you just put pure cinnamaldehyde on your skin, it's an irritant. Like lots of essential oils are irritants. Mm-hmm. You don't want them concentrated down to 100% pure that thing.
Right.
And then put it on your body. That can be really dangerous. And some people are allergic to it. You know, it's like there's just not like a natural equals better.
Yeah.
But a lot of natural products, meaning they are organic products that occur in nature, have aromatic rings and high conjugation, which can be really good for antioxidants.
And natural might not always be better, but it is does sound cooler. And that's what most of us are out looking for. We want to look and sound cooler. So
yeah, that's why I'm wearing my Snoopy Christmas sweater. It's because I want to be cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, Joe Cool. I don't know what Joe Cool is.
It's like one of his outfits, one of Snoopy's outfits.
Oh.
Like when he has the sunglasses on, he has like a, he's like kind of one of his characters. I don't know.
I didn't watch any Snoopy except for the Christmas Snoopy.
Oh, nice. There's a really cool one of Vince Guaraldi's like, you know, bits of score that he wrote for various, you know, Peanuts specials. It was called Joe Cool. And it's a great one. It's a really, I like that one a lot.
That's cool.
It's like not a really recognizable theme, but it's like, I was like, this is cool. Like he just wrote this like
Joe Cool.
He like kind of embodied that Joe Cool vibe into this little track.
I love the Peanuts Christmas, the Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah.
But that's like the extent of it. And there's those twins that go like this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that.
One of my favorite.
I love it.
All right. Well, normally we would wrap it up with a happy thing, but do you want to share a fun Christmas tradition or thought or where you're going to be on Christmas this year?
I don't know where I'm going to be. But this comes out, I will hopefully know where I'm going to be.
Wow. You're living on the edge, a month ahead. And you don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we got, you know, things up in the air. But the tradition... Well, I feel like we recently talked about some traditions.
We did on a bonus episode, yeah.
That's right. Okay, got to keep that secret then, huh?
Were you going to share a happy thing?
Why don't you go first? You have something already?
Yeah, I was thinking, so this I have to be kind of vague.
Okay.
This isn't a Christmassy thing. This is just a regular thing, so okay. I'll share that.
All right.
So, and you can send me your Christmas well wishes. I'm working on a collaboration, which you already know some of this, but I'm working on a collaboration in my like research side of my life.
Uh-huh.
And because of that research collaboration, I've had to work at, reach out to real life podcasters that I actually listen to.
Oh yeah.
And some of whom inspired me to start this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one that I've emailed has gotten back to me and has been really nice.
Nice.
And is really excited about the project that I'm talking about working on with them. Uh-huh. And it just feels really cool that it's tangentially related to this podcast. So it's like they're excited about the work that we're doing. And they've all been so kind. And I sent those emails off like, this is never going to work. And yeah. Everyone responded. It was so nice. And so that was kind of a really, that's been a fun thing that's been transpiring in my research work life behind nice. The scenes. Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's been fun. And then this year for Christmas, we're going to drive to my sister's house, which is like kind of out in the middle of the woods. Uh-huh. So that's kind of nice. And then, we're going to Amarillo from there. And last year we drove straight through.
Yeah, y'all did.
And it was miserable. So we're going to take a day break.
Nice. That's a great idea.
So that's we'll have a little like decompress, be at home, do your laundry, unpack, repack, mm-hmm. get the second set of whatever gifts or what like snacks or whatever you're going to bring to that side of the family. And then.
Yeah. Nice. That's a great idea. Lesson learned. Yeah. When y'all talked about doing that, I was like, man, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah. It's like a 20-hour drive, I think.
Man.
Because it was 5 hours to Amarillo and then like, well, I guess so it'd be 15 because it's like 9 or 10 to Mississippi.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a long drive.
I thought of one.
Okay, let's
one
hear
little
it.
Sort of tradition kind of thing is I like Christmas music, but so much of it's not good. So what happened about, you know, I don't know, at this point it's been like 13 years ago or something like that. One of my favorite musicians, Sufjan Stevens.
Yes.
Shout out. Good old Sufjan.
Sufjan. If you want to hear more, go on our subscribe to a podcast on our secret episodes, Jam Talks All About It.
So here's a little anecdote is that, so he has two different collections of Christmas stuff he's come out with.
Really?
Which means total, that's 100 songs of Christmas stuff he has had put out into the world. That's a lot. Some of them are like little ditties, you know, like not a full-on song or whatever. But so when he came out with the second collection of Christmas stuff back in 2012, I wanted to say that was, me and our friend Sean went to a show, a Christmas sing-along of that.
That he put on?
Yeah, that he did. Yeah.
Wow.
Playing his music and stuff like that. So we went to this Sufjan show, Christmas show. One of the most fun shows I've ever been to.
That sounds so cool.
And get to, you know, hear all those songs live and stuff like that, which is really fun. He has a mixture of like, you know, covers of traditional ones and writing his own and stuff. And we got to meet Sufjan afterward and talk to him for a while.
Was he nice?
Yes, very nice. I have a picture with him.
Nice.
And it was great. It was awesome. So I love listening to those songs every year.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Christmas stuff is like, eh, you know, it's like, oh, somebody did another one of those of that song. And it's like, wow, so original. But I love the Sufjan ones because I'm so attached to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously everybody's got that for certain songs for them. So I'm not knocking that at all. But sometimes it's like, guess who came out with a new version of this? It's like, great. You know, like the artist of the time of the season for this little bit in their 15 minutes, they did a version of whatever song.
All I Want for Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not in a general sense super into all Christmas music, and it does get a little old at all the stores and stuff. And you're like, oh gosh, like da-dun, every story.
Is that
you go
Mariah
to,
Carey?
Yeah. Every story you go to is like, oh,
is
they're playing
Mariah
this one.
Mariah Carey? Yeah.
But I love the Sufjan ones. So I like breaking that out. Listen to those. Super fun.
I put on Christmas music when I decorated my tree, but I don't think I've heard any Christmas music since then.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe because I'm just at home most of the time working from home.
And I guess they don't really, I'm thinking about it. I think there's one store I've been to that has been playing some, but I think a lot of places haven't started yet. So
yeah,
they might wait until next week, but I don't know.
My go-to Christmas albums are, a long time ago, I got my mom at the Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack.
Yes.
And so it's like mostly instrumental, but still Christmassy and nostalgic. And I really like that. Mm-hmm. And then another one that I listen to a lot is like my mom loved Bing Crosby. Mm. So I'll do that old style of like, you know, old, it's sort of like old timey vibes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are probably my two go-to Christmas albums.
Yeah. Yeah, some of those like old kind of crooner ones are really cool.
Yeah.
And those don't really ever get old in a sense because they kind of have always been old.
They feel classic. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've always been old. So you just like listen to this old guy singing White Christmas one more time.
Yeah. And they're in so many movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So those are mine. That was fun.
Nice. Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for coming and hanging out with us on your holiday break. And I hope you all have a great new year. And will we see you before that? I don't think we will. We'll be out with a new episode in the new year. And you'll have a re-release in between that.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Great.
And thank you guys for your questions and ideas. Always the best. And if you have a thought, a question, something you've wondered about, like, is this chemistry? Reach out to us on our website at chemforyourlife.com. That's chemforyourlife.com to share your thoughts and ideas with us. If you'd like to help us keep our show going and contribute to cover the cost of making it, you can join our super cool community of patrons and supporters on patreon.com/chemforyourlife. That's patreon.com/chemforyourlife.
And then you get secret content that's not chemistry.
Secret podcast. You get, depending on the tier you pick, you get a sweet little note from us. You get some behind the scenes stuff. You get to join our monthly coffee hour. It's pretty cool. If you can't do that though, you can still help us by subscribing in your favorite podcast app, rating, writing a review on Apple Podcasts, subscribing on YouTube, and say a little comment on one of the videos saying hi.
Yeah.
Those things help us share chemistry with even more people. So we appreciate that. And we'd love for you to do those things.
This episode of Chemistry for Your Life was created by Melissa Collini and Jam Robinson. Jam Robinson is our producer. And this episode was made possible by our financial supporters on Patreon who enjoy all those benefits and who want to make chemistry accessible to even more people. And those supporters are Avishai B, Brie M, Brian K, Chris and Claire S. Shout out, Chris is almost his birthday. Chelsea B, Derek L, Emerson W, Hunter R, Jacob T, Christina G, Katrina H, Latila S, Lynn S, Melissa P, Nicole C, Rachel R, Sarah M, Stephen B, Shadow, Suzanne P, Timothy P, and Venus R. Thank you again for everything you do to make Chemistry for Your Life happen. And an extra special thanks to Brie, who often creates illustrations to go along with episodes to Chemistry for Your Life. And you can see her website on our show notes, and you can follow her on Twitter to support her and thank her for that.
And if you'd like to learn more about today's chemistry lesson, you can check out the references for this episode in our show notes or in the description of the video on YouTube.
Yay, chemistry!
Yay, chemistry!
Almost went there.